welcome to episode 196? Well, 196 of Game Over Nation. I'm losing count because they're coming out like every friggin' day. I am the host of this weird little Game Over Nation and Friends cast, Gabe Philbin. You know me from such classics as episode 195 of Game Over Nation and 194 of Game Over... No, not 194. Well, yes, 194. I can't even remember. Hello! And with me, this time around, our special guest, Harris Foster.
Hi, I'm Harris. You may know me from Game Over Nation episode 197. Thank you so much for inviting me to the next one. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Game Over Nation classic, Crape or Credit.
Crape or Credit is my magnum opus, but one must move on.
You weren't on that. That was Javi. That was Javi on that. On Crape or Credit.
I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. This is my first appearance on a Game Over Nation podcast.
Yes. And also, being ever so quiet, waiting to get introduced, Devin Sneathan.
Who? Hello.
That's him.
It's me.
That's him.
It's me.
What are we talking about, fellas?
Anything, man. What do you
What's
want to
talk about?
What's
on your mind? Well, I figured we'd just kind of hang out, just do what we do, except for record it this time.
Oh, so what you're telling me is this is the resurrection of dumbass.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty much.
I've been vying for that for years.
Those episodes are available anymore.
They're banned in most countries. I mean,
yeah. They were such an abomination that
such
they were wiped from the history
wrecks.
Books.
Such no, goddamn train wrecks of human emotions and human functionality that we had.
I mean,
to
we could start.
Them.
We could pull up Uncharted and just start playing.
Hey,
that.
Everyone, welcome to episode 3 of Dumbass.
Yeah,
there we go. That's right. Official title. All right, starting now. Okay, everybody, Gabe's gonna count down. Then we're gonna record. And then we're going to start the third episode of Dumbass. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to scream.
Ready. Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. We're not fucking doing that.
What? Why not?
We're not going to fucking do that. Harris, shut the fuck up. Harris, we're not doing that.
Whose idea was this, anyway?
Well, so before this episode, I talked about... I mentioned when we were talking this guy that just got fired from Nintendo. I think it was last week, actually. He was fired. He works in the treehouse over here in Seattle, beautiful old Seattle. And he was let go because he made an appearance on a podcast and sort of disclosed some of the localization practices of Nintendo, of like what actually gets a game over here, and how, like, sometimes, you know, even if people are demanding it, it's still not going to make the money, so, you know, they don't bring it. This is apparently a big no-no.
He did some talk, straight shooting about the business realities at Nintendo.
I wouldn't
Nintendo.
Even call it straight shooting.
It was a little bit behind the curtain, you know, a little bit, like stuff that we wouldn't know.
Behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Nothing bad, nothing like outright negative about Nintendo, but still things that he wrote on a legal document that he cannot talk about. And once that podcast was released, I think it was a day later, it started, like, getting posted on, like, Nintendo Pro or whatever, Nintendo, like, Go Nintendo, those Nintendo enthusiast websites, and Nintendo gets a whiff of it, and he was ultimately let go. And there were some people that were thinking, like, you know, Konami does all its terrible working conditions, and then Nintendo, but no one's going to say anything about this because it's Nintendo, and it's entirely different. Like, you can't really make that comparison. Like, Konami is just a, like...
I mean,
Konami, you know, shifts its employees' job title if they show up late. Like, there is a big difference between revealing insider information that you signed a document saying that you're not supposed to talk about and showing up late and getting promoted, or, sorry, demoted to a janitor.
Show up late, get promoted.
My kind of job.
There are certain companies that definitely have a really tight lid on what their employees can talk about and what their forward-facing, like, social media outside presence is and what they can and can't say. Like, I think Apple is a huge example of that. I know some prominent video game journalists that have gone over to Apple have basically gone silent on Twitter and stuff. Like, they don't talk ever, and you don't hear about them, like, showing up at events or on podcasts, or, you know, they just, like, That's the way it works there. And if you want to work there, you have to understand that. And I think Nintendo is definitely one of those companies. Like, you don't get, you know, those, like, you just don't hear about Nintendo employees, like, really out there talking about what it's like to work there, or, you know, business realities, or, you know, insider info about what goes on. It just doesn't happen. And
or where, like, the next Amiibo shipment is going.
Right. Because I would steal that truck.
That's the hot gossip.
And drive it off a cliff. Fuck Amiibos.
Yeah,
that would be a one true way to go out like a real man, is to drive a truck full of Amiibos off of a cliff.
He died doing what he loved, destroying Amiibos.
Destroying just Nintendo merchandise. Really
desperately hating what other people like.
But I agree with Devin. To that point, like, you know, he talked about, as Gabe said, what it takes to localize a game. And to some of the commenters, that's like a very trivial thing. They're like, it doesn't really matter. But there are so many things that just we don't know about, and the information that he gave out could possibly be something that could make another company better, or another company can use to make Nintendo worse, or, you know, this and that. So information that may seem very simple that's spread internally in a company can definitely have very big effects if released. And that's just why we see so much company secrecy in the tech industries and in the video game industries, is because, for one thing, if information like that gets out, then a little bit of magic is lost. But, like, another thing is, like, these things are important to remain secret. Otherwise, deals are lost. And, like, Nintendo, like, for instance, like, the Japanese developers who are making these games that are localized to America could say, hey, if you can't keep a lid on something as simple as, like, your process, then we don't want to, like, be sharing this new awesome game with you, because we want to keep it under wraps so someone doesn't steal it. So it's not about the things he actually said, more as he is seen as a loose-lipped employee, and loose lips sink ships. Thank you. That's episode 196. Thanks for joining us.
Join us next time for 197.
Yeah. For me, you know, it's sad. Definitely. It's sad, and it seems extremely harsh, and it's an unfortunate, like, event. But, you know, it's just one guy that worked at Nintendo and
so
made a mistake.
Bitter. He's not bitter at Nintendo.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about
this. He wrote a blog post either on Facebook or a link to a blog post on Facebook where he essentially said, I made a mistake. And then it got, like, it, like, was heartbreaking to read, because he said he's now let his family down. He doesn't know how he's going to provide for them. He hasn't had to look for a job in quite some time, and now he's let them down, and he's let himself down. And, like, that's how he closed it, that he let himself down. And it's like, man, shit.
I mean, you know, like, he'll get back on his feet somewhere. It may not ever be as great as he had it there. Unfortunately, that's kind of like the way that it works. But
yeah, it was like that was like his dream job.
Right.
This will do to his like any future possibilities of working in the games industry. Right. You know,
he will be fine, and maybe he'll find some place where he can express himself more readily, and it's not a big deal. Who knows? So unfortunate, but understandable almost. So. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It's unfortunate that it was such a public thing. You know, those kind of things happen all the time. But, like, a name isn't associated with it that other people will know about. There are job interviews you can show up to, and they'll be like, "Oh, you're Bob who, you know, let the Nintendo thing go. Sorry, no." That's unfortunate for him, but, you know, I'm sure. I mean, he managed to get to Nintendo, so obviously he has some value. He'll find a spot.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
I believe that in my heart of hearts.
I hope so. I mean, what are you guys looking at? What's been tickling that little brain of yours?
I play a lot of Hearthstone.
What's Hearthstone? Did Hearthstone just have a new expansion?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
The Grand Tournament just launched. Tavern Brawl is a separate thing, which has been ongoing for the last, like, month or two. Tavern Brawl is cool, though. We can talk about that if you guys haven't discussed, like, what's
new
in the Hearthstone
world. Ain't no one talking about Hearthstone.
World.
I'm loaded up on my phone right now. see what's going on.
All right. Well, Tavern Brawl is a weekly event that shakes up the rules in different ways every single week. And you just kind of get to go in there and mess around. It's like a super casual mode. It does sometimes include deck building, but it usually doesn't. And it's great fun. It's a super fun way to mix it up. At one point, there was a one where basically every card that you had was Unstable Portal, which is a card that summons up a random minion into your hand, and it costs a little bit less. So all you could do, unless you had already done it, was cast a spell and get random minions into your hand.
Just get a random.
And threat. Out of the hundreds of minions available in the game, you would just get a random assortment. And it was the weird events that could occur from the kind of stuff that you get that it's either really awesome or really terrible, or stuff that works together in funny ways. Like, you know, it was just a random fun thing to do.
I thought getting Hearthstone on my phone would, like, make me play it more. Oh, God, it's loud. Oh, come and sit by the fire. Whatever the fuck.
I almost never play Hearthstone on my phone. Like, I know what it looks like and feels like on a PC or tablet, and the phone just doesn't work as well. It's good in a pinch. It's good in a pinch.
I played, like, a few matches, and I lost, I think, all of them. But
also that will happen. Yeah.
And if it's a battery hog, you know, and you need your phone throughout the day, if you play Hearthstone.
I just loaded it up. My battery's already at half. I'm sure it did that all
instantly.
But the expansion that came out is a brand new expansion called the Grand Tournament. It is the fourth. The first one was a single player adventure called Naxxramas, Curse of Naxxramas, something like that. It was based on a famous raid in World of Warcraft. Second one was Goblins versus Gnomes. It was a card release, a bunch of cards, no single player adventure that fit those themes. And then Blackrock Mountain was another single player adventure based on a raid in WoW. And now fourth is the Grand Tournament, which is all cards, you know. So it's just a new pack type that you can buy in the Hearthstone store or whatever. And it has a bunch of new cards and a couple of new mechanics that will hopefully mix the game up a little bit, because it was getting, you know, like once the meta settles in Hearthstone after a new expansion, like shakes everything up, it does get a little
predictable.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. Because there's certain decks that have become very strong and everybody has all the cards they need and they know how to play it. And so you know, you can get into a match with somebody else, and if not just by seeing their class portrait, you know exactly what deck you're playing against, but the first couple of cards that come out, you definitely will. And you know generally what is in that set of 30 cards. And now things are like getting wild and wacky because there's a bunch of new stuff and nobody really knows what to do with it yet. It seems like it's focused very much on slowing down the game.
Yep.
Because up until now, really quick decks built specifically to kill the opponent as fast as possible before they can react have been most popular. And the new mechanics in this Grand Tournament have look, from my perspective, deliberately aimed at slowing the game down a little bit. So more top-end decks that are more late game have a bit more of a chance, a bit more prominence, which is cool because those kind of games get really interesting.
So,
and those are the kind of decks that I like to play. So
a big outcry recently is that Hearthstone is a free-to-play game, but with these expansions, it's very hard to be a free-to-play player. You feel like if you don't put money in, you are constantly losing. Now, you
agree.
Put money into Hearthstone.
Yes, and I think that whoever's saying that is mostly right. With every expansion that comes out, it becomes harder for me to recommend Hearthstone to new players. Initially, before any expansions came out, because I've been playing it, I think, it was well before Naxxramas even came out.
Oh, we were playing before the game was out.
I've been in the game for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was really easy to say, hey, like, jump in here. It'll be a lot of fun. And there's not a whole lot of catching up that you need to do, because there's only one set of cards that you can unlock. Now there are three, and there's two single player expansions that have very important cards as far as like what kind of deck you want to build. And it would take a very, very, very long time at this point, as a free player to get to the point where you can build decks kind of on the fly.
Yeah, it's probably for the best that I never play this game again.
Yeah, it's tough.
I have no self-control.
It's, yeah, also that's a problem. For me, I confess, I spend money on Hearthstone.
No shame there.
I'm happy about spending money on Hearthstone because I play that game more than basically any other game out there right now. And I have a credit card, a League of Legends cash card, that I opened up a long time ago for like RP or something in League of Legends. And I get $20 on that card at least once a month. And I spend that money, I shit you not, exclusively on Hearthstone. Like it is my Hearthstone goodness. Bank account.
Man, if I only spent $20 a month on free to play games.
It might be 40.
Oh, what? Let me rephrase. If I only spent $40 a month on free-to-play games,
actually,
that'd be nice.
Let's take a second and talk about that, Gabe.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Let's talk about the last time that you went on a free-to-play spending spree in Dota. Tell us all about it.
Yes, we have yet to learn the number that Gabe spent on Dota, and I would like to.
I'm really curious.
I can find out.
Tell us all about... No, just like... tell us. Tell us what happened.
Yeah. Break it down for us.
You were playing some Dota. You looked at things. You said, oh, I want this. And then you started buying. Tell us all about it.
Well, so I didn't look at things and said, I want
this. He said, I'm going to start playing this. Better start spinning some dough.
So I think I said this on a podcast a while ago. And at the time... So the numbers since then has gone up in relation to League of Legends. So I made some effort to find out how much money I have spent in total on League of Legends. And when I looked it up, it was exactly $700. It's probably around at least $800 now, maybe like $850.
I can't I've spent some money on League. I cannot imagine that it was that much. It's possible, but I can't
now
imagine
that. Now
that
I say that out loud again, I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, wait, let's break this down. Each skin in League of Legends is $3 to $7, right?
Nope.
How much
there's
are
some that are like $15,
$20,
right?
For like the super skins.
I own every champion in League of Legends, which is at this point 120 something.
Me too.
Most of those are bought on sale or bought with IP. The last like 10 have been bought with the in-game currency. What else? So I have a lot of skins. I've bought a lot of skins for people too with those like mystery skin things.
Yeah,
because I just right.
Kinda, oh, I forgot about
those. We go on a gifting spree, and you know that's just the natural consequence.
Like, oh, it's this person's birthday. I don't know what I don't want to think. I'm just gonna click this button and get them a gift and write "Happy Birthday." Boom, it's done. Done. And then like that happened a lot, but that's a lot of money on League of Legends. And that's since like March 2013 when all that started. I think I spent maybe like 40, so I rounded up to 50 before that on the game. I just see something cool and I'm like, I'm gonna get it. I have a job. I'm gonna do this. I play this game a lot.
I'm a grown ass man. I can spend my money how I want.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't regret a lot of regret some of it.
You all right there, bud?
I'm just trying to think. It's like that's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Once I said I don't regret, I was like, I'm pretty sure I just lied to myself.
I do like to think that a game that is free to play on PC, you have spent enough money to buy a PC to play it on.
Yeah.
That's a free to play. Pretty impressive.
Doesn't take much for League of Legends.
Yeah, League of Legends is pretty easy to spend money in. And then Dota, I bought the compendium before the international started, didn't like fill out anything, so I like totally missed an opportunity there. I didn't like.
Yeah, but doing what did you any, know like, about the scene anyway? So like, what could you have possibly like?
I was like, I'm curious about Dota. I'm going to spend this $10, get this thing, support the international because it seems like a cool thing.
We're all curious about Dota.
And I was like, I'm going to start playing this, and I didn't for a few months, like until the international started, and I was like, I should go back and try Dota. I bought the compendium. I should like fill that out. Everything was locked at that point.
Gabe's Dota curious.
Yeah, a little dope curious. And then after a few weeks, I was like, what do I get for leveling this thing up? What's in it for old Gabe? And there's a long list of stuff, and it's like Immortal Treasure 1, Immortal Treasure 2, all these things, and it's like, you can never get these immortal treasures outside of here, it sounds like. Okay, I'll throw $10 at it and get these points. And then that happened, I got the items, I click all the buttons, it makes all the cool sounds. It's a slot machine. I'm like, I'm going to do it again.
Do it again. I want to do this again. Give me the slot machine.
I never go to casinos. I'm never going to go to a casino. Despite what my AP statistics teacher told me, that everyone should go to a casino once. Because if I go to a casino once, I'm done. I'm dead.
Then we'll never see Gabe again. That'll never
happen. Yeah. And it was just like a process of that of, oh, if I just spend like another $10, I can get these points, then I'll get all these items. And it was just that.
Where did we end up?
I don't know. 80?
Okay.
It wasn't awful.
I mean, one day?
I think probably 24 hours.
That is very impressive.
Now,
I am impressed.
Well, let's think about it like this. Do you see yourself playing a lot of Dota in the future?
Yeah, as long as people don't keep leaving my games.
Yeah, so, I mean, a brand new box game is $60. You spend about $80.
You got the collector's edition.
I mean, that's the way to justify it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I spent another $7 on the Rick and Morty pack this week.
Good pack.
That's tax.
It's still tax.
We're good.
The problem with free-to-play games that we are finding out as a human race explore this concept
of my self-control.
Yeah. Well, is it a regular game? You spend money and it's done. A free-to-play game, by its very design, you can spend money
forever,
infinitely on a game.
Yep.
Which is a little scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like at this point, I've definitely 100% spent more money on Hearthstone than 60.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I've sunk at least $200 into TF2. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, are we getting into that now?
Let me tell you a story. I remember when I had my TF2 moment, I was obsessed with collecting shit.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that involved real ass money, but I cannot remember to what amount it entailed.
My worst TF2, the absolute worst TF2 moment I had was winter 2011. All of the winter crates are out, and I wanted a strange festive scatter.
Oh, man, I remember this.
So, instead of buying keys and just going to the marketplace immediately to trade for it, I went to the market and bought crates. And then bought keys because I wanted to get it myself and just started unlocking them and not getting
it. If you could.
Until I eventually just bought another like 10 or so keys and got the Strange Festive Scatter.
If you could grind up TF2 keys and snort them, Gabe would have had it all over his face like an addict. It would look like
Scarface.
Yeah.
It would look like Scarface.
Exactly. There'd just be a huge table of ground-up brass that Gabe was sniffing and trying to snort out the other nostril into a gun, and it was not working.
All the while, this is when I'm buying games to get achievements in them for lumps of coal.
So this
is a bad winter for me. That was a bad time.
It was a dark place for all of us.
Me especially.
I don't still remember getting into the 2011 winter sale quite as heavily as Gabe Filmon did.
Oh, man.
No one did. That was bad.
I went on a pretty serious TF2 spree in trying to possess every weapon that was conceivably available at that time. And I did reach my goal.
Several times. When they added new weapon packs.
Yeah, I got a cut. You know, I eventually stopped. And I don't know how far behind I am now. I can't even imagine.
You're really far in the hole, buddy.
Yep.
Oh.
Don't even think about it.
I invested in TF2, and this is what I get. Also, all of the values for our most valuable items in TF2 are now tanking.
Yep.
We stuck to the market for too long. There was a guy on TV that was going, sell, 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 and we didn't listen.
I don't know why we didn't. You know, the thought process...
Why would I sell? I like my items.
Yeah, but eventually...
I will never get rid of my strange festive tickle mittens.
That's true.
I feel like eventually I am going to back out of TF2.
There's going to be a time... You know, there's a time in a child's life where the mother puts him down and never picks him up again. That is the same with TF2.
Well, we didn't play TF2 for like a good year, and then we started playing again recently.
But see, I would be okay.
You know, it didn't have the same magic.
Yeah, the magic is lost.
Of course it didn't. Well, I didn't expect it to be there.
But see, at that point, you're like, well, time to let go, and you sell your items.
No, they're my items.
I'm getting out of the TF2 market, you know, like...
At this point, I've already lost money on all of them because apparently the market crashed.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, if we had sold
I would feel worse getting less money back than I spent than just holding on to it.
Oh, no, no, no. We're past that point. We all agree there. Okay. But had we sold back then, I think we'd be happier people. And we're about to get down a very depressing hole. We should find a new topic.
I wouldn't sell my items. Even like when, I mean, because we all knew it was going down. We could have. I didn't.
We could have gotten out.
I chose not to. I like my items. I worked for those. By work, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent a lot of money on them and I like them.
Until the second market boom comes.
Long live the strange festive bat.
Strange festive bat. Strange festive scattergun is worth more. Suck it.
The Apache's apparel number 75 out of 100. Thank you.
Did I get all my items before Strange Festive stuff started? I mean,
yeah. And then and then I gave you all of my leftovers.
Right. Well, anyway, so that's TF2.
So,
and free to play and Dota and League of Legends and Hearthstone.
Well, now that we talked about cooperating together on free to play games and being supportive of one another, tell me about Fortune Street.
Oh, shit.
That's not free.
We're going to talk about Fortune Street?
All right.
It's free
I'm going to play the audience, and I want you
It's free to win.
Tell me about...
Fortune Street is a game you should never play with friends because they're going to do shit that you would never expect them to do and stab you in the back for no reason to make someone else win when you clearly have worked very hard to get this win and not betrayed anyone in this entire match, did not shit talk one bit, and somebody else will win when they do not deserve it.
Okay, I'm going to give a little pop-up video context here. Fortune Street is a video game for the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Fortune Street
is Monopoly. We've talked about it before in the podcast. It is Monopoly with a stock market.
There you go.
And it's fantastic. It's got Dragon Quest characters and Mario characters.
It might be the most fun I have had on the Wii.
Damn. That's a...
As a group here in Seattle, we have had our waves of, like, you know, couch co-op, whatever, couch competitive games that we have played and stopped playing. I think Fortune Street has more legs than any other game like that that we've ever played. Like, to be honest, like, we will always continue. We will continue to play Fortune Street, and it is not a small investment. It takes hours to play a game.
It took us... What, the one that me, Javi, and Rachel, our team won, that was our longest one, I think. That was, like, close to 4 hours.
Yeah, I think we played at least 3 hours the last time that we played.
Wow. So, I played Fortune Street once, but the other people had to leave. We were on the small circle map. Is that...
Oh, that ain't
nothing. Okay, so we should do a bigger map next time?
Not necessarily it's better with a bigger map.
Circle and you've got one direction to go, it's like a figure eight. Okay.
My favorite is the three balls that are like two on the bottom, one on the top. That's my favorite. The diamond is also good, the baseball diamond.
Okay. So what happened in your most recent game of Fortune Street?
All right. So
Dallas,
here's the deal, because we have to explain first off that when you're playing Fortune Street, what makes it interesting, as opposed to like a straight Monopoly clone, is that you can invest in property and districts that are not your own. So if you see something popping off and you know that somebody's going to go big in a certain area, you can start buying stocks in that area. And when they invest in it, your payout will be equal to theirs. And in this particular game, the last one that we played, it was Gabe and Dal on a team. It was Fozzie by himself. It was Javi by himself. And it was me by myself. And Gabe and Dal got to a point where they were dominating, obviously. They had a couple of what were it monopolies. And though Fozzie later on got a monopoly, and then Fozzie later on got one of his own, the way that the stock game played out, I was invested in Fozzie and other people were invested in me. And so like me working on my own stuff was only benefiting other people, unless of course they landed on those faces, which is, we'll say improbable compared to just like cashing out of the stock market. And I'd never had a game like that where the intertwining web of people's property and investments were so related to one another. And Javi was just playing like the day trader. He would buy a bunch of stocks and he had no property at all. And then he would sell it when it went high and devalue it and then buy somewhere else. And he like kept playing this game. And he actually like did really, really well with that strategy, which I've also never seen anybody do before.
Excuse me. Were you not there when I came in second with one property?
I don't think I was. Okay. Maybe I was.
Well, there you go. I was better at it.
Okay. All right. Because, yes, Javi did end that game in dead fucking last. Yeah. Which maybe he did to himself. Not even close to finish. Maybe he did to himself. We'll get to that. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
So, we are playing on the diamond map, and Dal and I had just passed the bank, which is the spot that you have to be at to win. And, something happened. We invested in one of our properties, and our stocks allowed it so that we would break the score threshold for that map. So all we had to do was get back to the bank, and we would win the game. Devin is like the second closest at like 12,500. The threshold is 14,000. We start making our way around. Like we're getting like solid rolls.
All they have to do is roll high and keep their money and get to the end. Like, yeah. That is it. They're on the very last step.
Yeah. Javi gets to a fork. He's like, stopped at a fork so he can go two directions. Rolls, I believe it was a five. One direction, he lands on his own space. Other direction, he lands on Devin's space. Devin's space, where if he lands on it, would have to pay Devin $2,000. And because fucking anarchy, Javi decides to go, take a stay at Devin's hotel.
Well, okay. Well, it was the point being, it was either mine or yours.
No, it was his own. It was his own.
So he could have either kept the game exactly as it was or give Devin a boost.
It was not our, space.
Well, it was his.
What would happen if Javi landed on his own space?
He could have made money.
But he knew that he was going to lose, so instead of just wasting the time, he decided to change the balance of the game.
Yeah.
And here is an important part about playing Fortune Street, is you have to understand, this isn't a normal game. There is no award for third or fourth place. No, listen. There's no camaraderie. Listen. And people understand... they want some say in what happens in the game. And that does not include floundering about in third and fourth place and just watching someone win. So you have to understand that there's an important part about Fortress Retreat is earning the hearts and minds of your fellow players. And you know, it, when it, the opportunity comes and they can do you a favor, they might just do that. And unfortunately, Gabe just doesn't play that game as well as I do. And that's a lesson that he learned harshly that night.
Devin, you didn't say shit. You didn't capture bullshit.
So Fortune Street doesn't decide who's the winner or loser of a board game. It decides who the better person is.
Let me tell you something else. It's also very important to realize that sometimes it's not about who they like more, but who they hate more. And in this case, just watching Gabe dominate the entire game, they saw an underdog story that they could take part in. And that was me, baby. That was Birdo. That was fucking Birdo. Birdo knows his moment. Birdo knows how to get the people behind him.
The whole Birdo's gender kind of bounces back and forth. I just say they at this point.
Birdo's an amorphous.
Birdo is not a real creature, so I'm comfortable calling it an it. Thank you.
Birdo shows deep disdain for a gender binary system.
Devin's plan is to deconstruct Birdo so that Gabe can't make his case on this Fortune Street game. I believe it is what's happening.
Okay, so the thing about this, I am the worst person to play Monopoly with.
You played a full Monopoly game with Gabe.
Yeah, that's true.
And by trade, I am often the worst person to play Fortune Street with. Because I don't care about friendship at that point. Like, I'm gonna fucking win. Capitalism ho. And I was mild-mannered this game. I was purposefully quiet and sportsmanlike. I didn't brag. I was not rude. Not once. I never talked shit about anybody.
I was
the nicest guy in the world.
You know what they say about nice guys, Gabe? They finish last.
I have a secret, Gabe.
What?
So early, you know, when I got my Monopoly on that game, that mm-hmm. my four pinks, mm-hmm. Javi explicitly told me to lowball him on a piece of property and that he would sell it to me.
Oh, yeah, that fucking bullshit happened too.
All right, plot twist. What happened?
He did that on purpose. He did that on purpose. Yeah. It was all part of his plan. He gave me the Monopoly.
Javi Triple H'd me. Oh my god!
All right, let's see what the timer is. Let's see what the timer is. 37 minutes, first wrestling reference. Nice.
Oh, I got Triple H! Javi couldn't be the champ, so he determined the champ.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I've watched that video. I know. Well, you know, I think he just was investing in that property, and he did invest heavily in my property, more than I could, so it definitely... was good for him in the end. But yeah, he was like, whispered in my ear. He's like, just give me a lowball offer on that property and I'll give it to you. I was like, okay, I'll do that. And I did.
Damn. I got to play this game with you guys. It sounds like hell.
Oh, we all will play.
I had Javi and Fozzie's, like I said, I had their heart and mind. I had their backs.
But you also
had my back.
They had their wallets as well, it sounds like.
They had my back early on. They knew that I was their main. And I came through for them. It was a shared victory. I won.
Fairy tales don't have
actually,
a happy ending.
Actually, I won. Only me. Yeah, Birdo is the champion.
There is no second place. There is no medal when the other person gets the trophy. There is victory. There is defeat. And you fucking weaseled your bullshit. You didn't even win. Javi won.
Well,
for you.
No. Yeah. Well.
Javi Triple H'd it.
You know, it's, you know, we can say this. There might be some truth to it. You know, maybe I was handed my win. But I had to be in a position to get it from the get-go, and I was very much there. And on the other hand, the way that the game worked out, you don't really know whether or not Javi's addition was really the thing that clinched the win for me. It's hard to say. You can't really tell.
You're Randy Orton.
You know, unfortunately, these variables have been changed in such a way we can never go back and know how it would truly have played out. But, you know, the score as it stands is I won. And Birdo is the people's champ.
I just want to say we've only been using my name. Dal was the architect for the second half of that game. I was the early game. Dal was the late game.
Dal played a good game. A good game. I was actually surprised because has he played that game with us very much?
He was on a team with Fozzie in one game before.
Oh, so he knows kind of how it works.
Yeah.
Anyway, fucking Fortune Street is amazing, and God,
it sucks that the Wii Online network is down because that used to have.
You
online.
Know, the Dolphin emulator. If we were all buy a legit copy of Fortune Street that has a simulated Wii Online, we could potentially play that game online.
Yeah, yeah.
We should look into that.
We should look into that.
All right.
I don't know, it would lose a bit of its magic of the couch camaraderie.
Yeah, it definitely...
Camaraderie is not the right
definitely
word.
Definitely like hanging out, having some drinks, and like really getting to stare into your opponent's eyes
as you
snatch victory from under their very fucking nose. There's something very satisfying about that can't truly be replicated in the online space. Although... watching Gabe flip the table after our epic full Monopoly match
yes.
was pretty satisfying as well. Gabe has a history of coming in second place.
This podcast is fucking over.
Who ended up winning our Monopoly game? Was it
Andrew,
our buddy Andrew? Okay.
Yeah.
I owned the whole board except for three properties.
Sometimes you got to believe in the heart of the dice, and obviously the heart of the dice were not in your... we're not being nice.
And with that...
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to episode 196 of Game Over Nation.
Getting started.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
These have been your two fuckboy guests, Harris Foster and Devin Sneathan. You can follow these guys at Jet Reset for Devin. I don't know why the fuck you'd want to follow this dickbag.
I'm the people's champion.
At Harris Foster.
That's right.
This is what I get like when Monopoly gets brought up. This is a part of me. This is not me. I don't like this.
Alright.
So Devin is at Jet Reset. Harris is at Harris Foster.
He's spite ending the podcast now.
Yeah. I've never heard someone rage. Gabe has taken the podcast microphone and he is going home.
He's rage quitting the podcast. We're only 40 minutes in. He's like, no, I've had enough of these fuckos.
We post these fucking things like twice a day. 40 minutes is more than
Gabe's
enough.
Gabe's the kid who takes the football home after he gets touchdowned on.
Also, aren't we doing one right after this? That's kind of what I was going for.
All right, yeah, let's do that.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.